Welcome back to the Broadside Podcast. This is Shane Bolton, and this week I'm going to have a discussion with Marvin and Mina from the Broadside newspaper.
let's talk. Marvin, I want to talk Ben with you because I know a little bit about Ben, but I want to go explore more, and I need some, like, I don't know. I have explored over in Sisters, but not over here. Is there any, like, I got a new camera, obviously. Is there any good places to go shoot other than, like, all I know is the Mill District and downtown? That's the only
thing. I'm starting to kind of struggle with that as well, because it's like I've lived here long enough to the point where it's like you see the same scenery and you're like, okay, that's there, and it's like nothing's that interesting anymore because nothing's new. I mean, yeah, the go-to places, like you said, are pretty much just like Old Mill, downtown, or Shevlin Park. I feel like those are the main places.
Yeah, for like,
if you want to explore something new, there's always so many small little hidden parks everywhere. Like Bend Parks and Recreation District just goes off, and there's parks all over Aubrey Butte, which are like hidden, which might be cool to check out. I mean, there's Pilot Butte. There's lots of stuff out east, which I definitely haven't looked into. But in terms of like major areas, yeah, I feel like it's definitely all like centered around Old Mill, downtown, and Shevlin Park. Those are the places I see most kind of like photography happen. But there is some interesting opportunity with like breweries and stuff like that, where there's like lots of interesting architecture and stuff. But it's all relatively the same scenery. Lots of suburban stuff, the kind of like urban stuff, or just like the same pine forests everywhere, unless you go further out.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, especially now, because one, it's winter, but I feel like there's a lot of events in the summer, if there wasn't coronavirus.
Yeah.
But that
definitely, yeah, like that's also been tricky.
But I enjoy. I feel like taking photos at those events would be fun and interesting. Hopefully, those happen this summer. But I've done a lot of exploring over in Sisters and towards like Camp Sherman and that area over there and Black Butte, because I had come over here on vacation a lot over there, not specifically Bend, but I like the forest over there, because you kind of get like the forest feel over here, or like the pine forest over here, but over there it's like dense forest, so that's where I've
Definitely like up towards that pass. Yeah, there's a lot of great, like really kind of like almost rainforesty, like it's definitely a lot
denser. Once you get forest up towards like Sanium Pass, yeah, and then you go over to like
Eugene. Yeah,
there's a lot of good photography there, but
the forests here, it's like it's nice open pine forest, like great if you're mountain biking through or whatever.
Yeah,
it all looks the same.
Yeah, that's why you gotta find unique places, which are cool, but there's a lot of like caves and stuff. Mina, I don't know what else to say.
I don't get out a lot, especially in nature, but I have this hiking place called, I'm blanking, what is it? It's really like flat, which I like, and it's just like a plane, you know? And it's in town. It's called like,
very descriptive.
It's called Riley Ranch.
What is it?
Yeah, no, sorry. It's Riley Ranch.
Riley Ranch.
Yeah, I haven't heard about that.
There's like this. Yeah, I like it a lot for hiking, so I recommend it.
That could be cool. Yeah, I bet there's a lot more stuff out east to check out. That I think there's like a lot of kind of opportunities that are slept on, because like especially like out China Hat, there's like a lot of crazy lava tubes and like kind of like the whole east southeast side of Bend, I think, has a lot of more recreational opportunities than people I think realize. So that's definitely a place to look into.
Oh yeah, more over. There's a lava. Yeah, Lava Butte down there.
Oh yeah, that one too. That one's great.
On Highway 97 towards Sun River. But I've flown over there because I'm doing aviation. But my favorite spot to fly is over Lava Butte, because you can see like inside, and it's like a cinder cone inside. And then I always like going over to Sun River because that's a cool little airport. But yeah, I really enjoy flying over there because a lot of lava fields and stuff.
So, oh yeah, I bet that looks really cool.
No, I want to take Marvin. I was thinking this the other day. I was like, okay, so once I get my license, whenever that is, hopefully soon, if I put some work in. But I was thinking, you know, I need to take Marvin up because one, he can get a bunch of photos of me and then I can fly him around and then he'll get all his photos he wants and it'll just be like, oh, perfect. So I think that'd be cool.
That'd be so cool though.
Yeah, especially, yeah, it's really fun. My thing about flying is that I hope to take up like all my good friends back home and just people I know. I'm like, oh, if you want to go flying sometime, just come fly with me. Cause it's definitely, it's really fun. Just at least experiencing like flying in a small plane once. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It totally changed me. Like I went up with, so there was a buddy of mine who his dad had a plane and he was on the golf team with me and I drove him every day. And I was like, oh, if your dad ever, or if your dad ever goes out flying any, or like soon, I would love to join you. And he's like, oh yeah, let him know. And then like a week later, I went up and flew around Mount Hood. And I was like, oh my God, this is so much fun. And then that started like my journey into aviation. But yeah, I just want to let everyone experience that. Wow, this is fun. This is cool. But if people don't enjoy it, I you got to at least try it once. So that's my thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like I feel like that most of my awesome, experiments. Yeah, it sounds really cool. Like most of my experience with planes has like just been like the big commercial planes, you know, like if you're going to visit family, you walk in, sit down, you know, sleep, wake up, I'm here already, that kind of deal. But yeah, like I honestly really think like the whole like technology behind stuff like planes and cars are really cool, and so it'd definitely be really cool to see that in person and just take all the pictures. Like I would probably fill like 64 gigabyte SD cards worth easily.
yeah, no, that's also the thing is like when I was like throughout my whole life, every time I go to the airport, it's always just like, oh, I'm at the airport, and I like would just always run around looking at planes and I don't know.
Oh,
I just
yeah.
really
like,
enjoyed it. So
I agree with that so much. Like when I went to visit family last year in the summer, I took so many pictures at the airport. I could show them. They're so cool. But like, it's just awesome to see like all this technology happening to get everyone where they need to go.
Yeah. I'm kind of excited once COVID's over and I feel safe flying again. I'm excited to go fly. Cause then I'll know a little bit more and I'll be like, oh, this is, like, I'll be like, okay, this is, I can like feel, I don't know, like I can know a little bit more. I'm like, oh, okay, this is happening. And this is happening with the engines at this time. And this is when the pilot is on autopilot and all that stuff. Cause you kind of can tell a little bit, I guess. But yeah, I'm really, that's.
Oh, yeah, that's always cool. When you like know enough about a subject so you can like observe the professionals and know what's going on.
Yeah, nerd out in my say.
Yeah. totally like same with me with like film and photography. Like I'll watch a movie and be like, oh, that part's CGI, oh, this is how they did this part. Like it's really cool to see.
Yeah, I'm into movies too. I really like just the cinematography part is my favorite part, is just like the shots and the angles and all that stuff. But
I love that, like that really like changes the movie.
Yeah, I'm really opinion. My two favorite directors are the Coen brothers and then Quentin Tarantino. I just like how they do their cinematography. But my favorite movie, I'll say this, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It is one of the greatest, most like suspenseful and just great acting and great cinematography and great everything. It's called No Country for Old Men. Have you guys seen that?
I believe I have. Is that the...
I haven't seen it.
Is that the one where he uses like the cattle bolt gun? Is that the one?
Yeah, it's that guy.
Which
he's
one
like
is
really
it?
Creepy.
It's that guy. Okay, it is that movie. Yeah, I've seen it.
That movie. But
like
I,
the
I,
acting in that. He just
I watched oof. That movie just like I could like sit down tonight and watch it again and just be like, wow, that was a great movie. Because it's really like deep. Like I watched it the first time, I liked it. And then like I like researched a little bit about it and like read into it and like just the way the director, the Coen brothers made, like they used like old films to like kind of base it off of it and like the Bible a little bit, because like they use it's just a great movie. That's all I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend it if you want to watch it. What
are your guys' like favorite like genres like for movies?
Ooh, good question.
Probably I like comedies, but
I like those too.
But I like westerns, but then like
oh, those are great.
The old westerns are okay, but they're kind of like all the same. But
yeah, I totally agree with that.
I like when like the modern directors make like
the modern westerns, like Django Unchained.
Oh yeah, like that. That's a great movie.
Or like
No Country for Old Men, it was kind of like a western, but it's based in like the 80s, or it's like set. Yeah.
It's
ooh.
But it's like. Yeah, it's I like those. I'm not really into action movies. That's not.
You know, those get kind of like repetitive, honestly.
Oh,
like,
they are totally.
Like the, it's like the same plot, you know?
Like John Wick. And
it's like different, like slightly different, like.
Like I'll watch it, but
yeah, I like okay. John Wick because I think it's like cool in terms of the choreography. But like most other action movies, like I don't bother to see most of the blockbuster action movies coming out because yeah, they're like cookie cutter plots.
Right, like Marvel, cool visual like effects. All the same plot.
Oh yeah, I don't really. I'm not a big fan of Marvel.
Like, do you guys like horror?
No, I haven't watched like definitely too much, my favorite but I think genre. It's a cool genre. Really? It depends. There's definitely like good horror and like cheap horror where it's like. Just okay, but
like
scares.
Those are good in their own ways, though.
They,
like the
they
cheap,
are,
like the
but,
cheap like 80s ones, yeah.
Oh, true. but like for the actual horror, like those if you find a one where it's like actually scary, you're like, okay, now this is perfect. Then it's like a really good movie.
No, I watched one.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Smith? What's Jaden or what's his dad? I what's his name? Why am I forgetting his name? His son's Jaden Smith. Why do I remember his son's name?
Will Smith?
Yeah, Will Smith. I saw, okay. It was like a horror, but it was kind of like a zombie movie. I don't remember.
Huh.
I might know what you're talking about, but.
Okay, yeah, like yeah. Zombie movies, I don't really find that scary. But like, I find more like the psychological horror.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
more
yeah.
Scary,
like,
cause, like the body horror, like. It's like, oh no, it's scary. And then you're like, at some point it's like, okay, this is just gross. They're just taking it too far, right? But like those psychological horrors where they like really play on like the fear of the unknown or whatever. I think those
yeah,
are
like, have you,
the ones that do the best.
Have you seen Get Out by Jordan Peele?
I'm not sure.
Oh,
I've definitely
heard
about
it. I like
that
one. That's a good horror movie.
That one's so good. Yeah, it's so good. There's like so much like symbolism and stuff in it. Like I
yeah,
love
that
it.
Was deeper than horror, like a horror movie. That was a little... Like horror movies can, that one was, yeah, I like that one. That one was up for like Academy Awards and stuff. But yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
that one.
And another one by Jordan Peele called Us is also really good. I recommend that one too.
Oh, yeah,
too. It's like pretty similar, out? But yeah.
That came out recently, didn't it?
I don't.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's pretty recent, but yeah, I really like that one too.
Okay, yeah, like one horror movie I didn't get though was Blair Witch Project. I watched it and people said it was like supposed to be like super scary and it kind of like really created the found film kind of like genre, but I didn't find it scary at all. I don't know.
Isn't that the one that's like
it's like
it's
the one where
it's like
students
like a real...
filming a project and it's supposed to feel
yeah.
really real. And I'm like,
yeah, yeah, I haven't
they
seen
did
it.
Go off with the acting, but like I didn't really find it scary because it's like I don't know, it just feels like you're watching the characters make like odd decisions and you're watching the group break down and you're like you're seeing all this from a first person perspective and you're like this should be scary, but somehow there wasn't like the like that dread or fear, like there wasn't that connection that actually
yeah,
made it scary.
It's hard
for
to
some
like
reason.
Yeah, I know, it's like sometimes like it's like the characters or like the decisions they're making that kind of like make it less seem like less realistic, like nobody would actually like act like this, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely it. Yeah,
but yeah,
like it's especially good in horror movies where like the character like where something really bad happens but it's like they did everything that you should have done, like, and like those kind of movies, like
right,
what's a good example, like there's like what was that movie, there's like Midsommar or like that's super weird like Swedish
yeah I haven't
film.
I need to see that one. Uh-huh.
Like that one is just weird because you're watching it and you're like, shit, just it goes bad. Everything goes terribly, but you're like, the characters are like doing what they think they should do. And you're watching it and it's just going worse and worse. And then when like characters make really bad decisions or screw other characters over, you're like, that could totally happen. And that's what like, I think gives it that connection like to real life.
Yeah,
and that's what makes
like,
it like the extra bit scary.
Yeah, if it's like more realistic, yeah, it definitely feels like less like you're watching a movie, you know, like more like it could happen in real life.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, the Will Smith movie that I saw was I Am a Legend, and it was
okay.
Like a.
Oh yeah, I Am Legend. Yeah.
Or I Am Legend. Yeah. But I saw that when I was like in like, fifth grade, and that was a mistake because that like scared me for like weeks on end. I was like, oh god,
oh,
this
no.
is scary. But yeah, no, that's the movie. It's like a zombie. It's kind of it's weird. It's creepy. But yeah, I'm not a big horror movie. Guy, but I am into
yeah, I
oh really
too many either, but like I feel like it's a cool genre, but I feel like I've just been desensitized to horror. Like horror movies don't scare me, but horror
oh, me
games, that's where it's at.
Oh,
Which ones?
Okay, so like when I watch a movie, right? Like there can be that disconnect, right? Or like you're watching it and then you're done watching it and it's over and you're like, okay, that was scary, but like it's over, cool. But what I find even scarier than like scary movies is like scary video games, because like that connection to the medium that's trying to scare you is like way more present.
Well, yeah,
because like with a movie, especially if it's a zombie movie, you're like, oh, I know exactly what the monster is. I know exactly what it's gonna do or how it works. And so you're like, okay, we'll just see if the character makes a bad decision. You're like, okay, that character is gonna die. They screwed themselves over. But if you're playing the game, then it's you. You're the one making the decisions, and it just like that connection is so much more there. And even especially if you play something in VR, like VR horror games.
I was gonna say that. Like, do them in VR. Like, that's so scary. Yeah.
Like I played.
Because you're like literally in it.
Yeah, yeah. So I played Phasmophobia, which is kind of like the new popular kind of horror game. Basically, how it works is imagine Supernatural, but you're the ghost hunters. And so you have to like go into a building and like try to figure out where the ghost is, what type of ghost it is, and get evidence of it without, you know, getting murdered or just spooked too hard. And so I played this in VR with another friend who was also playing in VR, and then two other friends who were just playing on PC normally. And it was like super fun, but also way more scary than any horror movie I'd watched in recent time that I could remember. Because it's like you're making decisions.
And you just like try that somehow.
Yeah, honestly, like, okay, let's just get the entire like the Broadside team over to my house and we'll play it. But of course, like COVID responsibly, if possible, we won't pull a summit here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, right. Cool. We should demo that, or we should have some sort of like a Broadside Let's Play of that. That'd be hilarious. But basically, that kind of a medium I think is much better for horror, because it's like, when you're watching a character make decisions and then face the consequences of those decisions, like you can try to read into it and connect to it yourself. But if the horror it comes from your decisions and your actions, like that's really the scariest, I think. And that's what makes like the horror video games a lot scarier and cooler than the movies, in my opinion.
Have you guys watched like
interesting
ghost hunting shows?
Ooh, I haven't watched too many actually.
Oh, have you guys seen Ghost Adventures?
No.
Do you guys know that one?
Ghost Adventures.
I'm not sure. I just watched whatever's on TV.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Really? No one. Wait, what?
That one's like really funny.
Are they like?
Yeah. So like
Ghost Adventures.
Are they spoofing it?
Yeah. Is it like a comedy where they're like aha, there's a ghost in here, everybody run, or is it like an actual kind of?
No. So like some of it is real. So I actually like, I think like most of it is real, but you know, like it's like the show's been around for like over 10 years or something. I don't know.
Okay,
something like that. But like I know that one of the members got like kicked out because one thing they did, like something they did was fake, and he admitted that, and like he got kicked out for it. Huh. But like now I feel like they focus less on like comedy. It used to be like a lot funnier, but I definitely still think it's funny and like it's worth watching.
I watched there's one that I specifically remember, and it's called Ghost Brothers, and it's just these African-American guys, and they're like you can tell they're like spoofing it, but like they're totally like they're going to like actual places that have like quote-unquote ghosts, but they're like kind of spoofing it, but they like overreact over everything, which is like every show, but they make it really funny. But that's the one that I remember. It was just
I need to throw one out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was only two seasons.
Yeah, okay. So I see they're on the Travel Channel too.
Oh yeah, it's
yeah, yeah. I see they're on the Travel Channel, which is Ghost Adventures. It's on the Travel Channel too. Because they go like all around the world, so yeah.
That'd be
so funny to combine like a ghost show with a travel show. It's like, oh my god, run for your life. Anyway, also the bagel store down the road is absolutely wonderful.
Right? Do you guys know there's this other one called Dead Files? And like this lady is like definitely faking it. Like Dead Files, yeah, it's like so ridiculous that it's funny.
That sounds like an X-Files parody.
She's like so dramatic. Right, yeah, so it's like this lady who's like this supposedly this medium that can like talk to spirits, and like she walks through these like houses that are like haunted from like the people that call them, mm-hmm. and like she just walks through and she's like she's like, I could see, she makes all these like really weird like facial expressions too, but like her acting is like terrible and it's just so funny.
Trying to think, I feel like I know this person. She was, I've heard about, like, yeah, I don't know that she's fake, but yeah, it's all for the money, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that also like brings up the question, like, I feel like there's multiple reasons to watch shows like that or movies. Like, you can watch it either because it's like really good and you're appreciating the art form, or you're watching it just for like the pure entertainment value. And that's why I think a lot of shows like that exist, like for the pure entertainment value.
Definitely. Yeah. That's why I watch it, at least. I mean, that's definitely why I watch Tiger King.
I heard a lot about that. Is that like even good? Like, I just, like, all I saw was like a wave of memes and then like never again heard about that show.
Right, because it got kind of like bad. I don't know. I only watched like a couple episodes of it, but
I watched the whole thing.
It was, really?
Yeah, I don't know. It was right at the beginning of quarantine, and I was just like, let's watch it. And it was like really uncomfortable, and I could
tell everybody was watching that. Yeah,
and I could tell people were gonna be like, oh, this is very uncomfortable. But I was like, okay, let's just go through it. It was like painfully like shocking. This was real. And Joe Exotic, free Joe Exotic,
right?
Yeah. But those people are nuts with the big tigers and stuff, but
I know
that was a weird show. A lot of
that woman who killed her husband or whatever. I'm like, geez.
Yeah, Carol Baskin. Or yeah, that's like the rumor.
Yeah Carol Baskin, yeah,
and fed her to the big cats, but it was
like Carol Baskin killed her husband.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, okay, I'm not sure if I want to watch this show or don't want to based off of what I've just heard.
So I guess the director or whatever who was making it was just doing it. He was making like a documentary about like the trade of like exotic snakes, and somehow he came across Joe Exotic and was like, oh my gosh, I need to make a documentary out of this. And his feud with Carol Baskins, and it just turned into this like just total like, what's happening? I can't believe this is happening right in front of the camera. But yeah, no, it got big, and I was just totally like, it's crazy that he just randomly, or like perfect timing that he ran into that. But yeah, that was a weird documentary.
That sounds like really crazy, but it also like just shows like the power of like film. Like, you can just like so easily like get an idea and share it with a lot of people like through that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. Oh, and then also another show that was like around the same time, like The Mandalorian, like apparently season 2 is out now. I haven't seen it yet, but like that show is also pretty hype. Like, speaking of westerns, that's like the most Star Wars western you could get. What do you think of that one?
I haven't seen it, but
you haven't seen it? Oh, if you love westerns and if you remotely like Star Wars, I'd recommend it, because it's like some of those scenes like straight up, like you've seen this, the straight up look like something from The Good, the Bad, the Ugly or classic westerns, but it's got that Star Wars twist. It's great.
Here's my hot take. I really like Star Wars. I like the originals. I don't like the new ones personally.
Yeah, me neither.
Any of the Disney
did you just
ones,
feel like a cash grab?
They are.
It was a cash grab. It is a cash grab, but people enjoy it, but I don't.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't really like, I like the seventh one they made. It just felt like they just made. I don't know. I don't like.
The seventh one was literally A New Hope, but with different characters.
Yeah, and they just like brought back
desert planet.
Yeah,
random character finds lightsaber.
It was just they just knew how to make like people feel. They were like, oh wow, this is Star Wars. But I didn't really like it personally. I think the original three are my favorite. To be honest, I like the prequels more than the new ones, because the prequels are funny and I can quote like
the prequels are great. They're just like so awkward, but they're like so good.
I wouldn't even say that. I just like them because they're like just all, there's so many memes and stuff from it.
Oh, true. Like it's just like a limitless supply of memes. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not a big fan of the new Disney one. I don't know. It just feels too, I don't know, almost too capitalist. Like, okay, let's just make some money off of something that everyone already knows. And
it definitely feels like discombobulated as well, because it's like the original trilogy, like it wasn't anything crazy revolutionary in terms of the writing and the story, but like the presentation and the visual effects were all like pretty groundbreaking at the time, and so it definitely did have like a really interesting appeal. And it was like something that people worked hard on to bring something new and interesting to the scene. And then the prequels, like, they're a little bit awkward, but they're like, at times, like, the dialogue is kind of funny, but like, they're a really good addition because they like expand upon the universe, tell a story, and set things up and actually like bring more importance to the stuff in the original trilogy by like giving stuff more backstory, like as a prequel.
I like
in terms of the Disney movies, I think Rogue One was really cool because it like kind of gave backstory as to how they got the Death Star plans, and it actually like tied things together well. But like the new like sequel trilogy, I don't like. It's very discombobulated and all over the place. Like there's like the messages don't line up, and like it's just all over the place, and they just make unnecessary decisions, and there's unnecessary characters, and it like completely violates the Star Wars lore at times.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, it's definitely interesting. Any other hot topics or controversial opinions on modern films, or do we have or shows even?
I don't know.
I have some.
All right, let's hear them.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, you know, like, I don't know if you guys. Okay, so like, I watch mostly anime, so I don't, I don't really like watch a lot of these like new or like Netflix adaptations. But there was like this one called Fate: The Winx Saga that just came out. And I haven't seen it, of course, but, you know, like, I've, like, watched some, like, I, like, watched, like, a video about it, and, like, it's apparently, like, a remake of like, this, like, 90s cartoon, huh. And, like, I feel like, you know, especially, like, with Sabrina the Teenage Witch, you know, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and, like, you know, Riverdale, I know that one's, like, not Netflix exclusive, but, you know, Riverdale's, like, on Netflix, and I feel like Netflix, like, makes everything, like, darker, and, like, they just like kind of make teenagers like seem like the absolute, like, I don't know, like like worst, you know, like depressed like people on the planet.
Oh my god, you're so
and I'm
right,
just like
though.
What is up with like Netflix's like obsession with that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
They always need to have like some kind of like substance abuse problem.
Oh my god,
they're
so
always like depressed, like, you know, like I'm like, what is up with that? Like
it's like, yeah, I think there's definitely a disconnect between the writers and like the actual characters they're portraying, and you can tell that sometimes, especially in like modern film.
Definitely.
Like all this stuff, if it's like thought up and produced by people living in LA who are like in their like 20s and 30s, like they probably don't know how it is to be a teenager in a middle-sized or small-sized town in like the middle of Oregon or the middle of Washington. So
yeah, but that doesn't sell.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think there definitely should be more diversity in writing of film, because like there's so many cool stories to share. I like, why do we get the same blockbuster movies every year that no one cares to watch because they sell? Like,
yeah.
It would be so much better for the genre and the art form as a whole if you get like actually share more stories that are worth sharing rather than sharing the same ones over and over because they sell. Because I think the other stories would sell just as well.
Definitely.
If you portray them with the same resources if you put into them.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
Wait, do you guys?
Oh my god, the teenager writing by Netflix, that's hilarious. It's like, okay. You
oh my god.
Are the comedic relief character.
Do not get me started on Riverdale.
You are the unlikable nerd. You are the football popular kid who turns out to be an asshole and gets dumped by the girl who goes for the unpopular guy because of later plot developments. It's like, like, okay, is your experience about high school, is it all come from high school musical?
This is the one,
like...
Asian character.
yeah. Oh my, yeah, right. Yeah.
The token Asian. Yeah, okay.
Oh my
we
god,
throw
yeah,
this
it's,
person
it's
in.
Like...
Yeah, the token Asian.
Yeah. All right, so you're here, so that way we have diversity in our film cast and we don't get sued. Like, come on, man.
Right.
new topic, or it's kind of in film, but do you guys watch any, like, sitcoms? That's my...
Ooh, I haven't seen a sitcom in forever.
I used to watch... I love The Office. I used to watch Seinfeld sometimes.
Oh, I love Seinfeld's my favorite sitcom. I've watched the whole thing, every single episode, so...
Seinfeld is great. Yeah. What's the deal with... I'm sorry, I can't do Jerry Seinfeld impression.
Jerry Seinfeld. Wait, that's not Jerry.
You guys probably can,
but...
I haven't seen most of these shows.
Yeah.
But Noah, Seinfeld, How I Met Your Mother, and That 70 Show is my favorite sitcoms, and I can watch those over and over again.
The Office is amazing. I've watched it like so many times.
I've heard like nothing but universal acclaim for The Office, but I've never watched it. Why? What makes it good? I'm actually curious. Like, what makes it good?
Like, they have these like long running jokes. So it's supposed to be like a documentary thing. Like, it's meant to be like a documentary of like this, just like the day to day like lives of like this office. Okay. And it's just like a paper company, and like, you know, there's like these long running jokes, like some of the characters like look at the camera like when like another character is like just being weird, or like
that's awesome. Yeah,
it's awkward at
but it's really funny, like
okay, so like just the humor is completely yeah, you know,
there's like some cringe in it, but
oh yeah, true.
Yes,
oh,
God. Definitely.
If I watch anything like, with too so much funny. Secondhand embarrassment, I don't know, man, if I can survive that.
Oh no, yeah, there's some episodes that definitely have like a ton of that. So you might have to skip some episodes. Like, I'm just gonna say like the Scott's Tots episode.
That one's probably that one. One of the best.
That sounds pretty cursed already.
Yeah, I know, but I like
I died watching that.
I like The Office, but after about season like 5, I don't like it that much. It was just
after joke. Michael left, or
just a little bit before Michael left, it just kind of started like getting a little, I don't know, just the writing felt a little repetitive and was kind of like,
really?
I didn't personally, I'm not the biggest fan really? Of The Office. Yes, that's my hot, hot take on The Office is that,
oh dang,
it kind of,
I love it.
Yeah, I like the first couple seasons, but then it just kind of like, I didn't enjoy it, and especially once Michael left, because Michael was kind of like the anchor, or like the anchor that,
yeah, I think I, you know, I was like worried for that when I was watching it, like, oh no, is it gonna just stop being funny after he leaves? I still liked it, honestly, because they, you know, they brought in like new characters and like did some like new stuff with it, and you know, he had an appearance again in the last episode, so I thought it was like, I thought it was still good, but yeah, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, that's just my opinion that, yeah, I don't know, it just kind of fell off for me, and a lot of people like it, I get it, but kind of just was not for me, I guess. I don't know. It just kind of was kind of getting not as funny as I wanted it to be. But yeah, that's my hot take. A lot of people are going to hate me for that.
But that's fair. I mean, I think it is like, it is very difficult to keep a show, like especially a long running show, like entertaining. Because what do you do after a certain point when you've kind of used the main idea of your show? Like, you start the show with a certain concept or theme. And then once you've exhausted that theme, like, what do you do?
Yeah,
you
there's
can't
a lot
completely
of...
change it, but like, how can you extend the life of that, or where can you find something new?
Yeah, most shows are like that. They kind of get like start not getting as good as they were. The only show that I've really found that's not like that is Seinfeld, and that whole Seinfeld was just good. Every single episode is good except for the last one, but
They get like arrested or something, right?
Yeah, I watched that.
Crazy like that.
I finally watched it because I've heard so many things like, oh, it's the worst, like, what a great show, but the last episode was horrible. And I watched
it. Yeah, I bet it's like so anticlimactic. You're just like, okay, and.
Yeah, they like brought a bunch of characters back that just, it didn't fit, and it wasn't that good. But like the whole Seinfeld is just such a great show, and it's just so great. But that last episode was saddening, but you got to look at this whole show, at the whole show. So that's the only one that that's
definitely
been good throughout, so in my opinion. So
all right, so we've talked about movies, we've talked about shows, what else is there? You have any interesting video games to talk about? Or also, you mentioned anime, and I haven't stopped hearing about Attack on Titan for like a couple weeks now, so if you want to give us the scoop on that.
I need to write a review.
Okay, can we get a review?
Yes. So
like, I need to know, like, I've heard nothing about it, or like I've heard nothing about it for years. Like, I remember like seeing kids talk about it in middle school, like, you know, like the kids that were super into that, and I didn't hear about anything, and then now all of a sudden it's like everywhere, like it's like the number one show on Netflix or whatever.
I know.
And then I'm like, where did this come from?
Season 3.
Like, yeah, I haven't seen any of it, but I plan to watch it because people have said it's really good.
Yeah. So I definitely recommend it. It's like kind of like for like people who haven't seen it, it's like kind of like horror action mostly. And it's like takes place in like some European country. It's not like really specified, and it's about these people who have like lived in like you know, like isolation and like this like really like large like inside these like large walls, like in this large area, mm-hmm. because there's these like man-eating like giants, and that's pretty much what it's about. And yeah, I know like season 3 came out like 3 years ago, and season 4 finally started airing December of last year. And I'm not sure, I haven't read the manga, so I'm not like sure about if that's finished yet, but I know this season 4 will be the last season. And yeah, so it's, so like after season 3 was over, it kind of like, I'm not gonna try to like spoil too much because season 4 is kind of like picked up after like this time skip. Okay. And like a lot of the characters have like redesigns, which is like pretty like weird to me because mm-hmm. I've just been used to like, you know, they all have their like signature appearance, so
yeah and, the and then that changes, it's very odd. Yeah
so much is like really sad when it ends, but I definitely recommend it. It's so good. Like there's like so much like you know, like not like symbolism, but you know, there's like a lot of like philosophical and like moral questions that come into play too. So like you can like enjoy it on a lot of different levels, like, and also like the animation, you know, it's done by MAPPA Studios, which is like a really big studio in Japan, and like it's, so like the animation is just like top notch, it's like so good, and like the fighting sequences and everything are just like super fun to watch. So recommend.
Do you think we're like witnessing like the making of a classic, like Avatar The Last Airbender level of classic, where it's like, because like I feel like Attack on Titan has kind of been that like staple of like, it's like the very popular kind of anime where it's like a super popular action show that everyone can get into, but it's not just like a bad action show, like it actually has a lot of like depth and quality to it. Like it definitely seems like it's going to be like a classic, like Avatar The Last Airbender, where it's like, okay, just go watch this because it's actually amazing kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, I really think so. I think like, you know, like a lot of different people can enjoy it for like different reasons too, you know, and like okay, not just cool. people for like who come for like the soundtrack or like the art or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah, so. I don't really.
All right, I'll definitely have to give it a look.
Yeah, I don't know much about anime, but I have heard about the show, and it probably, I would assume, is a classic because it's kind of like well known, and I didn't even know it was still going. But I assume probably is a classic, or people are gonna be like, "Oh, remember Attack on Titan?" So yeah,
definitely, yeah. And then what's the other one? There's like a Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. I feel like the other one that's kind of like in that similar position where people are like, "Just go watch this. This is the one." I don't know. That's what I've heard from people where they're like, you need to watch this. I'm like, why do I need to watch it? They're like, because it's a classic. I'm like, okay.
Go watch it. Yeah. You because.
Why? Because.
Yeah. Because. Also, you know, I feel like, have you seen Haikyuu? About volleyball?
No.
That one's like another one that's like, that's like another one that's like really popular too. Definitely, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I feel like it's also kind of cool how like different mediums like that are becoming more popular, because I feel like I remember back in middle school, like I feel like it was honestly kind of taboo to watch anime. Like people would be like, oh, they watch, wait, what do you watch now?
Right.
But like, yeah, but like when you look back on it, you're like, dude, all the kids who watched Cartoon Network, they're like, oh my god, how has your brain developed since then? Because the kind of stuff I saw on Cartoon Network, I'm like, you know what, it probably is better to watch anime instead of that. Because like, damn, it's kind of life scarring. Like, have you guys seen
the Amazing World of Gumball?
Like, yeah, like I don't watch any of those shows, but whenever I see them like on like a TV somewhere, I'm just like, oh my god, like I don't think I could watch this. This would hurt my brain.
Yeah, like, yeah. The so Amazing World of Gumball was just like, yeah.
That's a good show.
Like, I bet it is a good show. It's like, I guess you have to like start it, watch it, like actually sit down and watch it and like get into it. But like, just at a glance, you're like, oh my God, what is this? But then you get into it and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, it's like these like photos for the background and like.
That's actually just, like, really sick though. And like, yeah, I've seen it like where they use like the different animation styles for different characters. Like some are 3D CG, some are 2D hand drawn. Some look very like illustrator, vector like. Honestly, that I think is really cool. I think like the amount of technology that's coming out that's enabling artists to do all kinds of different stuff like animation and filmmaking and stuff like that's just so cool. That's definitely something I'm like really looking into and studying.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that's like kind of like what made that show pretty unique too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just like any other like cartoon. So
yeah. And so in terms of like kind of like hobbies and like because I was talking now about like how I do a lot of filmmaking and photography, what kind of like hobbies or career stuff are you guys doing? Because like I know Shane, you've talked a lot about aviation, and then Mina, I know you do a lot of really cool illustrations for the Broadside, but like are those kind of the things you guys are like really pursuing, or are those mainly like more like personal interests, I guess?
Aviation, yeah, I'm definitely pursuing as a future career, but I also like doing stuff outside, like anything nature related. Like I worked at a Yosemite National Park years ago,
and that's pretty cool.
That's more of like a personal like, ooh, let's get outside and feel good, and I'm working, like my job was, I was like, my office was looking over Yosemite Valley.
And oh, that sounds really cool.
Working on the trails, because that's, we just worked on trails.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Maintenance stuff. Like, I couldn't do that forever. That's the thing. It's like, I can do that for the summer, but there's not much in the winter. And so that's, I hope to do that, something like that again in the future. But it's, I like going outside. So maybe I can connect that with aviation, maybe like working in Alaska or like Montana, because I really like the mountains. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could be cool. Yeah, I think it's always cool when you can combine your career and your like hobbies kind of, and like I definitely agree with like light, enjoying being outside and stuff, and I think through photography and filmmaking I can do that lot, like definitely, like especially this last year, like photography and filmmaking for the Broadside or for personal projects has definitely brought me out and like allowed me to still like interact with humans and not die of boredom and overwork at home. But it's also cool when your hobbies and your career overlap, because then you can kind of be like, ah yes, I am buying this lens because I need it and not because I want it. Yes. Yes, it's totally a business expense.
Yeah I need a plane. I'm just somebody give me a plane.
Like, mom, dad, can I have a plane? I need it for what?
So I need it. It's for work.
For work and totally not for doing loop-de-loops on the side on the weekends. Actually, speaking of loop-de-loops, like the kind of like planes you fly, like the kind of probably like Cessnas kind of style things, can those even like do any kind of aerobatics? Probably not too much.
You shouldn't, but you probably could.
Yeah, you probably could. I mean, probably as could. Long as you don't value your wings, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you can.
Wouldn't push it.
I wouldn't trust it, and I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
That's dumb. And
but not false. Honestly, like, I enjoy plane technology. I think it's so cool, but I don't think I could be a pilot. Like, just being high up, make it just
unnerves me a little bit. The planes that we fly are like from the 70s.
You need to have like great vision too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So the planes that they're from the 70s, but they still, because they're maintained like really well, or like compared to like cars. If you think about cars, you replace them like every like 10 years or 20 years or whatever. Yeah. And that's like the max of their life. But like planes last forever because you can replace the engine and. Like they still fly and they're in good shape even for the 70s. People are like, well, you fly a plane from the 70s? Well, yeah, but it's like maintained like monthly and every 100 hours, so
And I think it's also like people just take so much better care of planes, because if something goes wrong in a plane, it's a lot worse than something going wrong in a car.
Yeah, you need to maintain it, or it's like, okay, you can't pull off to the side of the road, you have to, it's like, yeah, so it's like that.
Yeah,
so but yeah, that's one cool
Yeah, and also like I feel like air, like plane technology is the coolest thing ever, but it just doesn't like click in my brain as much as something like a car does. Like, I really enjoy like playing racing games or like those games where it's like you like like drive like the World War II tanks and fight each other, that kind of stuff. Like those kind of simulation games I really enjoy, because like there's just like the mechanical complexity and the design of all these vehicles is so cool. But like the ground vehicles just like click in my brain and I know exactly how they work and exactly how I can best utilize them. But the planes, it's like, I'm moving this way, but the air is moving this way. How does this work? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like you really have to program your brain for all these like different factors. Like, how is it in the aviation program?
Yeah, no, the video games, I feel like it's so hard to fly in video games, but in real life, it's kind of like, it's easier and it makes more sense because everything's slower. And like, I don't know. It's like, it's just kind of makes sense. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of,
I guess it's something you have to like physically try, I guess, to like get the hang of.
Yeah. And it kind of, once you do it, like a good amount, and it kind of becomes a rhythm or like second nature, like, okay, it's like, okay, this is happening. Okay. Full power or whatever in general. But yeah, no, yeah, aviation, I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. So.
That sounds really cool. And then I guess also Mina, so in terms of your illustration and stuff, do you do that? Like, have you tried like doing animations and stuff with illustration? Because like, I know you've done like a lot of cool illustration for Broadside, but have you ever done like kind of like tried animating those?
No, I don't honestly like don't know if I'd have the patience for it. I'd like I want to work at an animation studio, but I might want to do like stuff that's like more like storyboarding and like character design and like concept art and stuff like that. Okay, that's like really what I'm interested in. I find it really fun to like design characters and like you know, like just work on backgrounds and stuff like that. So yeah,
it sounds really cool. Like I know, like, I've watched a couple of shows and, like, really, like, you can tell if people put in the time and, like, production quality into, like animated shows, because it's, like, everything is either hand-drawn or, like, put together in, like, a CGI software, and so it's, like, really cool to see how people, like, find new creative ways to, like, either bring camera tricks you'd see in real life into animations or, like, do stuff that's completely out there. And that's what I honestly enjoy watching as well, alongside like movies and film.
I know, yeah, it makes it a lot more, dynamic and like, you know, like I think one show that like really stands out with like really great like character designs is Demon Slayer. I feel like they're all like super recognizable.
Oh yeah,
and,
yeah.
And you know, just their, like, and like also the art style. And, like,
you look at it and you're like, this is totally not trying to be realistic, but like, it's so unique and distinct. You're like, okay, you see a character and you know exactly which show it is. And I think that also just like, that's also really good just for like branding and like marketing the show as well. Cause it's like, you can so easily recognize those characters, which is really cool. But honestly, I feel
it's not like a, it's not like a, like Kurapika and Armin situation where they like look really similar.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like with like the Netflix shows. You look at most shows in blockbuster movies, and if you see a 10-second clip from a blockbuster movie, you couldn't say if it's from 2008 or this year, except for maybe if you look at the quality of the visual effects. Like, you can't tell. It's got the same plot. It's got the same generic, like, people. If you don't know the actors, you won't know what year it's from.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't know which one it would be.
Yeah, but,
like,
yeah.
When, I think it's really cool when you do have those, like, those shows or those movies that stand out where it's, like, oh, dude, it's Blade Runner 2049. You can tell because everything's yellow and there's flying spaceships. Or like, oh, it's what show? Or like Demon Slayer, like we were saying. Like, you can tell it's this character. Why? Because there's crazy cool fight scenes and all kinds of like really stylized effects that are unique to like that show. And I think that's like, I feel like that's probably gonna be the direction where future film is gonna go, where it's like, you can easily film something, but if you make something like very like unique to what you're making, I think it makes it that much more special.
Thank you for listening in to this week's episode of the Broadside Podcast. I hope you enjoyed. And I hope that you join us next week for a new episode.